ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, November 27th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, Dwayne, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. The old caught up to me. I slept on my my neck wrong last night, so now I can't turn to the left. So that's the old, but it's fine. I can podcast with one working function, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's what happens sometimes. The worst injuries, I guess, at our state of life is when you're washing the dishes and you throw out your back, or when you sneeze funny and you can't get up anymore. I guess that's what I have to look forward to now.
Yeah. This is not particularly fun, I'm not going to lie. But I got a hot press on and I'm lying flat on my back. So if my voice sounds slightly different, it's because I'm projecting from a lying position today rather than a standing position. But I think we can fight through this and talk about some soccer.
You know, it's funny that your back hurts and it's on the left, because we're going to talk about Alphonso Davies, the left back, today on the show. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm here all week. Yes, on the Sports Podcasting Network. Alphonso Davies, what a performance once again yesterday for Bayern Munich, becoming quickly the preferred left-back choice for Bayern Munich. Like, yeah, for real.
No, for sure. It's seven straight games now that he's started in, and including in that mix has been several two Champions League games. So now, also, we should note that yesterday he played Red Star. Milos Boyan was the starting keeper for Red Star, as he always is, which I do believe, Kevin, is the first time that two Canadians have faced each other in the UEFA Champions League. So that's a significant
in the group stage, at least in the Champions League proper, for sure. I think it happened once, but might be qualifying.
Yeah, Atiba played. I think it was Red Star again. Maybe.
Yes. Well, yeah. But who else? Yeah. Like, who else? It's Atiba, Milan, Boyan, and Davies, I guess, in the Champions League over the last decade that it represented Canada, for sure. So it probably happened, I believe, in a qualifying round, but in the group stage proper. In the Champions League proper, it is the first time, we believe so, that two Canadians faced each other. 6-0 for Bayern Munich. Davies didn't score, but again played very, very well in this game, which led to Dwayne, and maybe also I do believe, that maybe he is a left back after all. Maybe this is the position that he will break through at.
Yeah, there's a saying in English, Kevin. I don't know if it's a French saying or not, but if it walks like a duck, quacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, maybe it's a left back. That's kind of I'm paraphrasing there. But honestly, if he's playing consistently at left back for Bayern Munich, then yeah, he's a left back. He played left back under Carl Robinson in Vancouver as well. So this is not a new phenomenon when it comes to Alphonso Davies. I know a lot of national team fans are very desperate for him to play higher up the field for Bayern Munich. They, you know, want him to be dynamic and score fun goals. I get that. I get that as a fan. I get that as a Canadian national team supporter as well. And the reality is that he's not going to anytime soon. He's got
very talented players
ahead of him.
Right? Doesn't need to be his role. His role could be to feed a Jonathan David, you know, and that's all well and good too. If you are a great left back, well, why not? Maybe they were onto something after all. Maybe they knew something that we didn't. And I guess Bayern Munich is showing everyone that maybe Carl Robinson playing him at left back wasn't that bad of an idea. I don't know. But I guess, to me, it's defensive mentality. And we've talked about this last week on the Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast, when we talked about USA-Canada. That you can find, by the way, on our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solid Two Soccer podcast, where Dwayne and I talk about Canadian soccer. In the next show, look for a great interview if you like the Canadian Premier League upcoming in the next few days also. But Dwayne, when we talked about Canada and Davies at left back at that point, maybe with too much of a responsibility to go forward and not having the surrounding cast of actors to help him defensively, we're looking at a team in Bayern Munich that knows exactly how to highlight your strength and hide your weaknesses. And that's what we have seen. And slowly but surely, he's going to be given a bit more responsibility on the field and eventually be a full-fledged fullback for Bayern Munich, I believe. It's a work in progress. So far, they were able to highlight his strength. And I think that's an amazing job for a team that is in the midst of a coaching change and a coaching search right now. And Alphonso Davies finding the opportunities to value himself here, which is extremely difficult when you think about it. In a coaching change, you want to make sure that the gains you made in the confidence of your former manager are not forgotten. And the best way to do that is to have 7 straight starts, 2 in the Champions League, which all these starts were great.
Yeah, look, I've watched probably 4 of the games in that 7-game streak. And what I'll say is this, is that for Bayern Munich as a left back, he has been playing very defensive-minded. He's very much a support player in that system right now, which is no shame. He's a teenager still, and he's playing amongst some of the best players in the world. I do believe that as his skills progress, as he gets a greater handle on the defensive side of the games, he will be given a little more rope to go forward. As it stands right now, if you watch him, he very much doesn't get into the attack as much as I think a lot of national team fans would like to see. But I think, as we saw against the United States, Kevin, when he overextends himself on the attack from left back, he can expose the back line pretty badly. Now, Bayern Munich might be able to handle a little bit better than Canada did. You know, a U-12 team might be able to handle a little bit better than Canada did in the U.S. But
that's true.
But nonetheless, he wouldn't be starting if he does that. So I think really what he's doing right now is he's been instructed to really focus on that sort of athletic defensive game that he has. And if you look at the advanced numbers, the stats, the analytics, however you want to call them, he's been doing very well. He's getting a lot of defensive measures, a lot of tackles, a lot of interceptions, a lot of blocks, things like that. And these are important factors, which is creating the confidence in the Bayern Munich coaching staff to continue to play him there. And if you're a Canadian national team fan, as much as you'd like to see him in the attack, this can only be beneficial, because here's the reality, guys. Like, not so much in the next round, as it appears that Canada is going to have to go through the repechage. So he will get ample opportunity to just play in the wing and score goals and have fun. But eventually, you're going to have to play, you would think, in this World Cup qualifying campaign, important games in, you know, Panama or Haiti or TNT and on the road, and you're going to maybe need a little more defensive shape. And if he's playing at a world-class level defensively, then that's only going to make the back line bad. What do we keep talking about? Or better, I should say, what do we keep talking about? How bad the back line is. And yes,
exactly.
Maybe they have other offensive forces. Like, I mean, yes, he's probably their best, but that doesn't mean that they can't find other creative players that can play in the higher positions to allow him to do that well and stabilize, hopefully, the back. What we don't want to see, Kevin, is him doing what he did against the U.S., which was exposing things. But I think that the Bayern experience will allow him to do that.
I agree. And that's where I think maybe him playing at a left back is a great news for the Canadian men's national team, like you were saying, just because it gives us one position not to worry about in our back line. So only 3 to go or 5 to go, depending on which shape the back line turns out to be. And yeah, you have Vitoria playing a lot better slowly, and with the Cornelius and Daniel Henry. So you're starting to see some sort of a backbone of a backline coming into reality. But maybe the key piece in there is Alphonso Davies, and maybe it was all along. But we were too excited about the offensive possibilities without realizing that maybe the highest potential that he actually have might be a mix of defensive and offensive potential. Now, yesterday, Dwayne, was the re-entry draft stage number 1. We're not going to dwell on it. Only 4 picks were made. The first pick, Mickey Ambrose by Miami. He used to play in Atlanta. He was the first pick overall in the re-entry draft. Nashville traded with Vancouver to their 25th pick in the re-entry draft, plus a second round 2020 super draft pick, which probably it's worth nothing right now because we don't even know what the 2020 Super Draft is going to be, because we know there are going to be some changes.
A conference call, I think, is what it's going to be.
It's going to be a conference call, so we'll see. Pretty much no one answers, and 1 or 2 picks will be done, I guess, next year. But with that second pick, Nashville selected Eric Miller, a fullback or midfielder, used to play with Montreal and Minnesota and Colorado, a few other teams as well in Major League Soccer. Sporting Kansas City got a goalkeeper with the 4th pick, Richard Sanchez, who's going to be Tim Melia's backup for sure. And the New York Red Bulls with the 13th pick, Kendall McIntosh, a goalkeeper as well, which will be Ryan Mara's backup probably. So only four players were picked in the re-entry stage one draft.
Yeah. I think, as you say, Ambrose and Miller were the first two picked by the expansion teams. I suspect they'll probably get very good looks to be starters for those teams, which reflects where they're at. I think in particular, Miller will be, I would guarantee you that he will be a starting fullback for Nashville next year. That's why they picked him, and that's why they moved up to get him. And that's, you know, an example of what this can do for you, a reasonable number of player that can start for you. It's replacement level probably, but that's what they need. So it's fine for that. You look at the rest of it, a lot of passes in there, a couple backup keepers grabbed again. They're cheap players. You need a backup, and probably, I don't know, these guys really, like, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have it, you know, encyclopedic knowledge of the backup keeping pool in MLS yet.
Which is normal. Who does?
Yeah, but I suspect that maybe, you know, they have their good fits in some way, so they're, you know, decided that they want to make a change in that position. It's a backup keeping is a funny position to fill. You don't want to spend too much on it unless you're TFC for some reason who wants to spend billions on keepers. But you'll want like a guy that's good in the room and all that. Like, it's a tricky position, and if the personality of these guys fits, then sure, it's worth a gamble in this round. I think you'll probably see some movement in the second round of this, which is really, there's no risk in picking a player in the second round. You're just claiming their rights essentially within the context of MLS. And you know, we mentioned Joao Plata, BWP's still there. You know, people want to talk to him to make sure that he's interested, and players can opt out. And I think a lot of players will opt out between now and next week when the second round happens, because they'll decide that they'd rather be free agents, right? So we'll see all that happen. But look, I also have a suspicion that this might be the last reentry draft we see, that there might be a change in this. I know that the Players Association would very much like to get rid of this and just make players free agents. But, you know, we'll see where that battle lies and whether or not we get more open free agency. And as the age gets reduced for free agency, the need for this mechanism will decrease. This was actually two CBAs ago, this came in, and it was, I remember talking about it at the time, and this was what MLS offered to the players in lieu of free agency. And before that, for those new to listening to this, once a player released them, they had their rights forever. You had to trade for players that they had no interest in. It was ridiculous.
It was pretty much just like the baseball in the 1900s, like in the early 1900s, where a team would have your rights in perpetuity, and whatever you would do, it was never your decision. I guess slowly but surely, it's becoming a bit more on a player's decision. Eventually in the future, Fafa Pico traded, well, at least his rights traded from Philly to Dallas. We'll see if he actually becomes a Dallas player in the next few weeks. That's interesting too, and we'll get to the Ken Piel awards in a second, but before we do so, let's take a quick break. We'll come back to talk about the Canadian Premier League awards, and also to talk about the City Football Group selling 1/8 of its stake to Silver Lake.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. If you like what you hear, go to our Patreon page where you can get a whole lot more. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, where Dwayne and I talk about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. SPN Extra, where you find shows like Five Rings Extra, where Dwayne and I start to break down the Montreal 1976 Summer Olympics. Our 8-part miniseries, Part 1, came out last night. An SPN documentary tier, $10 a month, will give you access to 6 documentaries a year. The first one comes out before Christmas, and it will be about the 2000 Gold Cup, which was won by Canada. And if you subscribe now to the $5 tier all the way to December 6th, which is next Friday, only 10 days left, you get the $10 tier included for 6 months. Thank you to Kevin. Thank you to Martin, the most recent people to take advantage of our special offer earlier today. We thank you very much. And we will continue, of course, to bring you quality stuff here on Soccer Today as well. And Dwayne, yesterday the CanPL Awards were announced. We have a treble. Tristan Borges. Fitting with his name, Tristan Treble. 3 trophies for maybe the best player in the Canadian Premier League. Pretty much the best player in the Canadian Premier League, according to the trophies.
Yeah, under 21 player of the year, Golden Boot, and the league's most valuable player. So, you know, makes sense if you're the most valuable player, that you're also the most valuable under 21 player. Sometimes they get tricky and sneaky about that. But
I know. Like, oh, we already gave the U21. We can give him the other one. You know, if he's the best player, period, he's the best player. And if he's the best player and he's under 21, well, you kind of have to be coherent and give him that trophy too.
You know, exactly. And look, Tristan Borges is a player, for those that don't know, for our non-Canadian listeners or people that don't follow the CanPL, he's a very diminutive, attacking-minded player, plays wide a lot, midfielder for sure, usually plays in the wide positions, although he can get central. He does score a lot of goals. He's the Golden Boot winner there. A little undersized, but this is soccer. What's the best, maybe the best forward of all time? You call him undersized too. So sure. So there you go. He is dynamic in how he plays. He's a very creative player. And he quite clearly is a player that has already garnered the interest of a lot of people outside of the Canadian Premier League. And there are a lot of people that feel that he may be the first move out of this league in any significant way. The Impact have actually been linked to him. I'll be curious to see how that plays out, because I don't know how much MLS is willing to pay a transfer for these guys, but certainly this giving him 3 awards is only going to help his value. He's a player that played in Holland for a bit, wasn't able to get regular playing time over there because of his passport situation. I've heard him interviewed, and he says that, you know, understandably to some degree, that because he didn't have the EU passport, that the youth coaches tended to favor the Dutch players because they viewed that they would be more of a long-term play for that, for the club that he was with. So a very talented player, deserved award. I didn't vote in this, but had I voted in this, I probably would have picked Borges. I think most people did. I didn't see what the breakdown of the votes was, but I suspect it was very clearly weighted for him. Obviously, he played also for Forge, which won the championship in the end, although, you know, they didn't win either of the seasons, but they did win the 2-game playoff to become the first Canadian Premier League champion. So it's a deserving award, Kevin.
It is a deserving award. The other award, Golden Glove, best goalkeeper in the Canadian Premier League, goes to Marco Carducci of Cavalry FC, one of the few players from this year that already made at least a camp, and maybe not an appearance, but at least part of a roster of the Canadian men's national team, with Dominic Zator, of course, but Marco Carducci was the first one to do so from the Canadian Premier League. Golden Glove best goalkeeper this year from Cavalry FC, winner of the spring and the fall season in the inaugural Canadian Premier League season. Coach of the year, Cavalry FC's Tommy Wheeldon Jr., another well-deserved award for the skipper. No, actually, for the gaffer. Skipper is captain. I always get them confused because a skipper in baseball is actually the coach. So, Tommy Wheeldon Jr., Cavalry FC, best coach of the year for year one in the Canadian Premier League, which is another well-deserved award, Dwayne, because, well, you won the spring season, you won the fall season, you made a deep Canadian championship run, you eliminated Vancouver. Yeah, coach of the year.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the program that he built there is built for long-term success for sure. Didn't win the 2-game final. It was a strange one. I think field conditions and weather didn't allow them to break through. If Cavalry has a weakness, it's they lack a little dynamicness, for lack of a better way to put it. They're kind of just a solid team. and they kind of fell short at the end. But it's hard to not argue that Tommy deserves the award as the coach of the year based on the overall play and the consistency of the play and the long term. Like, you know, if I'm picking the Campiel for next year right now, which I pretty much could, Calgary is going to be my favorite again because they're just that solid across the board.
No, I agree. So, and if we look at next year, what we have right now, Cavalry and Forge are clearly still the top contender for 2020. And depending of what Halifax and other team do as in the offseason, what type of player, we've seen a lot of roster movement, maybe not from Cavalry and Forge, but from the rest of the league, the five other team, we have seen some, a lot of roster movement. And we'll see what 2020 has in store. But there you go, the awards for the first season. Golden Boot, Best Under 21 Canadian Player of the Year and Player of the Year to Tristan Borges. Golden Glove, Marco Carducci. And Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Tommy Wolden Jr. wraps up your awards for the first year, which I'm excited already for year two. It is a long off season also for the Canadian Premier League. Right?
It's too long, yeah.
Too long, and it's hard to find ways to remediate the situation. It's the same for MLS, even though they started going to start earlier than before, because they finished earlier than before also makes for a long off season.
I think, quickly, that they should look to do some kind of off-season tournament in the Caribbean or something and do packages around it to at least get them playing somewhat competitive games earlier. This season is too short. Either that, or they need to make an agreement with like the New Zealand Premier League or something. We've seen a couple players go over there. So we have like a loan kind of arrangement situation where you can sort of help each other help for both short seasons. Right. It's a problem, and it's not a problem a lot of people are talking about, but you can't have a 6-month season and really, you can, obviously, and climate is the issue, you know, obviously, too. But I think there's got to be some way to find more games in there. Play futsal as something. Something's got to go there.
Well, it's going to be – it's the first off season, right, of the Canadian Premier League. So, also, it is a first. It is a beginning. So, we'll see how teams – deal with players probably coming back from their offseason, be like, it's been too long. Maybe next year I don't want to do this for my career. I need to play more. I need to not have a 4 months offseason at the shortest, but actually play and find a way to do so. So maybe that is an option to look into for the upcoming, well, the other offseason after, for the second offseason. New Zealand partnership, maybe you mentioned you have a cup tournament somewhere in the Caribbean with invited teams from the Caribbean leagues, or whatever you can do could be good options for the future. I want to finish the show today, Dwayne, by talking a topic that might be close to your heart, but maybe not because it's the business side of it. But Manchester City's owner, the City Financial Group, football group, has agreed to sell a $500 million stake, which is about one-eighth of their total value, between one-eighth and one-tenth, depending on the valuation, to Silver Lake, which is the parent company of Endeavor, UFC, and other big, big sports and entertainment entities. You have actors, you have podcast networks, you have a lot of things included in Endeavor and Silver Lake. $500 million, which is breaks a record for a sports valuation, which brings the parent company to a close to a $5 billion evaluation, 4.8. So the U.S. private equity firm is buying more than 10% of City Football Group at a valuation of $4.8 billion, injecting new capital into the Abu Dhabi-controlled organization that owns Manchester City and affiliate team in the U.S., China, and Australia. On Wednesday, Silver Lake and City Football Group announced a deal, which was first reported by the Financial Times. We and Silver Lake shared a strong belief in the opportunities being presented by the convergence of entertainment, sports, and technology, CFG Chairman Khaldun Al-Mubarak said in a statement. The company said the transaction was subject to regulatory approval in some territories, but California-based Silver Lake made its name investing in technology companies, Alibaba, Dell, Skype, and has pivoted in recent years to entertainment with portfolio that includes Ultimate Fighting Championship, AMG, Hollywood Talent Agency Endeavor, which is formerly known as the Anheuser Entertainment Group, AEG, has become Endeavor. That is a big relationship too, because in the same press release, it says, right here, let me just have it here. Well, I'm going to paraphrase. One of the reasons why they wanted that money and that influx of $500 million cash is to be able to build a soccer stadium in the New York area. So that transaction might have repercussion directly in Major League Soccer and in the New York area.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there's a content play for here as well, in terms of the ability to produce some stuff that they can then sell on or play on their one of their own platforms. So I was actually with City fans when this news broke yesterday afternoon, and there was a brief panic, not going to lie. The team's been sold. Oh, God, it's happened. No, but, you know, only it's 10% or whatever the valuation is here. And that's the headline, though, in the business press. This is the biggest valuation of a sports team in history. So Manchester City, by virtue of this sale, has evidence that they are the most valuable sports property in the world. Now, look, if the Yankees were to go on sale or Manchester United even, or someone like that, who knows what it would go to. But right now, based on evidence, this is. And that's, you know, I don't know, that's not going to get the blood flowing too much. But at the same time, it does sort of underline that this project, which started more than 10 years ago, it worked. It's basically the long and the short of this. They took what was essentially a Southampton level team, that's probably a fair comparison, and made them one of the world's richest sports property in a decade and a year. And that's, you know, as a City fan, that's been quite the ride. You know, whether it's the ride with over the ultimate ride and the ultimate tie and wins that Champions League ever, we'll see. But
yeah,
but
they might win it with another team before City, who knows. But the company acquired Chinese third tier side Sichuan Jinyu, and there's been a lot of investment in the recent time in US, Japan, Australia, Spain, Uruguay. So the City Football Group is also an advanced talk for a takeover of Mumbai City FC in the Indian Super League, according to people familiar with the negotiations. And the 500 million euro cash injection will help fund the City Football Group's aggressive expansion plans, including the acquisition of more football clubs globally, as well as the planned construction of a stadium in New York, according to people with knowledge of the group's plan. So maybe it is closer than ever before, but we might see even more team under the City Football Group umbrella than the four major team that we see right now, with of course Manchester City being the top one, and then you have New York City, you have Melbourne, and you have also other team in China.
Yeah, and there's one in Uruguay as well. If I'm the KMPL, I'm on the phone right now trying to get a hold of someone, to be honest.
Well, that's what did I? We asked that question a few weeks ago to Commissioner David Clanahan, and he did mention that, well, we haven't really had like serious discussions, but we were approached and discussions had happened, and we are open to a potential situation like this. At this point, it was basically just networking, I imagine, but I would not say no if I'm them, because
no, hey, bring money here. No. Look, say what you want. You may not like the owners, and I understand that, but the reality is, when you look at how each of the teams have run, yes, they do have an element of feederness to them, but they're not pure feeder teams. Like NYCFC isn't, you know, arbitrarily moving players between NYCFC and Manchester City. In fact, it's
more the other way around. If you look at the recent history, example, the last 5 years across the planet of City football groups, there's more loan from City to their feeder club than from the feeder club to City himself.
Yeah, which is those feeder clubs exist for the ability for a city to expand its youth holdings and have places for them to play, to expand their brand. Yes, they are all going to be in sky blue and are going to look very much like the mothership, and that's part of the plan from a branding perspective. And I don't know why anyone would have an issue with that, but some people might. They just hate Manchester City, which is fine again. But they don't really interfere. So if you're a Canadian Premier League fan, and just to be you know, think in theory here for a second, you would want that level of money coming into the league at some level.
And it would be nothing.
The side of the ownership.
It would be nothing for them. They'd be like, okay, how much? Okay, let's do a $15 million check and you're good for 10 years? All right, well, 5 years? Okay, here you go. Yeah,
they could shake their pockets out and pay for a Canadian Premier League team, yes. Hell, it's like 1 week of, you know, Raheem Sterling's salary, essentially.
Well, they just started renegotiating, so maybe that's what you do. Like, okay, we'll give you a team in Canada, Raheem, if you sign again. It's going to be your team eventually, just like Zlatan in Sweden.
The other element for it is it allows them to develop players locally in these places, and if there is an Alphonso Davies, for instance, that they find, then yeah, absolutely, they're going to take him for the big club. But I, as a Canadian fan, you shouldn't be angry at that. Hell, you should hope for that. But, you know, that's fantasy right now. But it certainly, I do think you'll see, I know you'll see City Football Group continue to operate in the way that it is. And they're going into places, you know, the Indian Premier League you mentioned there, that's purely, I suspect, a branding exercise. They want to get into that market. There's a billion people there.
Yeah. So, which is the same for China. That's the only reason why they get a team in Sichuan is because, well, look, there's a potential fan base there for anything that we do. And now it's even going to be more than just football when you look at everything. There's plan. When I mentioned AEG earlier, AEG is the other parent company of like the LA Galaxy and other world entertainment and rights holders. So there's the two big ones. Endeavor, Silver Lake is one. And at the Entrus Entertainment Group, AEG is the other one. They're separate. But AEG is the one that just offers Zlatan a part of a team in Sweden, too, as part, I guess, of his contract with the Galaxy. We don't know. That's sometimes what happens in Major League Soccer. You have side contracts. Like, okay, come in here for a few years and we'll give you a team in Sweden. But there's been some outcry because it's not the team that he used to play with. And I wouldn't be surprised. Dwayne, it makes business sense. You're giving a team. You're Zlatan. You got a year or two left. You pull a Didier Drogba and Phoenix type of move. You play for your own team, fill the stands, make money for a few years, and then call it a career.
Exactly. So I get the appeal to that. It works for everyone involved. Everyone likes to see those stars play at that level. But yeah, look, to get this back to MLS, if in fact this sale allows them to find the property in Manhattan or Queens somewhere, or wherever they can find it, then that's a good thing for Major League Soccer. Because you know what? I'm not the first to say this. Yankee Stadium's kind of trash for soccer.
Hey, kind of trash for baseball. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't want to get you all riled up, people out there.
Yankees suck.
Oh! Dwayne Wender. And I dropped the mic. I think that's a good way to say goodbye for today. On that note, you can follow Dwayne if you want to reply to him at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back tomorrow on Soccer Today for more. But if you like what Soccer Today brings you, you will love Soccer Today Presents, where Dwayne and I talk about different topics of the soccer world in our unique and own way, which will be available on the SPN Extra tier. We'll look at European game. We'll look at other things that tickles our fancy on Soccer Today Presents, available in the next couple of days on our Patreon page, available at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. We're back tomorrow at 11 a.m. for another edition of the World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. And until then, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. As always, we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.